A newspaper columnist has been getting denounced on social media for likening Islamic State terrorists to the IRA. Ruth Dudley Edwards is standing by her comparison made in an article for the Irish Independent. She's with us now. Good morning to you, Ruth.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So you've said the IRA were driven by the same fanaticism and nihilistic hatred and absence of human feeling as the Islamist gunmen in Paris on Friday.
I was specifically talking, I mean, there are other instances, of course, about the reign of terror in London in the mid-1970s, which was IRA. What they were doing was actually throwing bombs into restaurants, when, especially if they were full, shooting through the glass of restaurants, targeting civilians just to cause terror, and also in the hope, and ISIS thinks the same way, of rousing the British population against the Irish who were living there. It's exactly the same. And they were the people, the Baulkham Street Gang, as they were known, who were greeted in 1998 when they were let out of jail at a Sinn Féin conference with Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams holding up the hands of one of them in triumph at their release and describing them as the Baulkham Street heroes.
Is it not a bit crass to try to link Paris to the Troubles?
Why? I mean, the point is,
it's not about guys, us, is it?
They all learn from each other, Stephen, these people. And I'll tell you, they learned a lot from the IRA. Some of them learned about car bombs, and they also learned about how to do terror. And what else do you think the IRA were doing? What is the difference between members of the IRA throwing bombs into crowded restaurants and ISIS doing what they did in Paris? What's the difference?
Well, if you say that they learned from the IRA, remember that the IRA have gone down a peace process.
What's that got to do? I'm saying that what they did was no different from what the IRA did in London.
The commentator, Colm Doerr, listening to this. What do you make of this, Colm?
Hello, Stephen. When I read Ruth's column yesterday, I was reminded of the instruction people are given in court to tell the truth, the whole truth. Because, of course, a story can be distorted by omission, as well as what one says. And it's remarkable what Ruth omits when she talks about that period in the 70s, a period that included the Dublin-Monaghan bombings. And it seems increasingly clear that there was state security force involvement in that, collusion in that. So Ruth's story is completely undermined, her contribution is completely undermined, historically and journalistically, by her shameless one-eyed approach. I mean, the people of Ballymurphy, Derry and the New Lodge, et cetera, they could bitterly make the same comparisons, and on that basis, refuse to engage constructively with their opponents.
I would make exactly the same comparison between the Dublin and Monaghan bombings and the ones I'm talking about in London. The reason I was talking about the IRA was that they actually have some status, because Sinn Féin has status because they aspire to be in government.
They have more status.
The Dublin and Monaghan bombers, the loyalist bombers, who are just as despicable, just are politically completely unimportant. At the moment, we are dealing with an organisation,
Sinn
Féin, which stood over all that, which approved it, and now has the brass neck to condemn what goes on in Paris as if they had never participated in exactly the same kind of brutality.
And didn't the state participate in terror? Did Gerry Anderson say?
I'm talking about terrorist organisations. We can talk about the state another time. I'm talking about terrorist organisations. Any paramilitaries who target civilians deliberately are no better than ISIS, and were never any better than ISIS. And that goes for any paramilitaries that you can think of. It goes for the loyalists just as much as for the Republicans. It's just that the Republicans have managed somehow to turn all this into a propaganda victory.
Ruth is very careful to frame the conversation to leave the state out of it and reduce it to warring tribes here in Northern Ireland. But by demonising our First Minister as akin to ISIS, it's actually very dangerous, because it unwittingly, one must assume, feeds the dissident argument that Sinn Féin were sold a lie, that they could pursue their goals constitutionally. And Ruth needs to be mindful of the responsibility that comes with the very prominent pulpit that she enjoys as a commentator and journalist.
Colm, I am sick and tired of this bullying with the weapon of the peace process. Sinn Féin's been trying to absolutely stop all criticism ever since it began by saying, you will undermine the peace process if you criticise us, if you produce any uncomfortable facts. They're still at it. The peace process, might I remind you. Well, no, let's not even go back that far. The Good Friday Agreement is nearly 18 years old. It should be standing on its own feet. And you are never going to silence me by trying to bully me with that.
Ruth, you talk about uncomfortable facts. Let's be clear about this. Are you saying that state collusion did not exist, that that's a figment of people's
imagination? No, I'm not saying state collusion did not exist, but the reason the state collusion came about was because paramilitaries were murdering each other and murdering civilians. The state didn't start this. There were two... This was tribal conflict. It still is tribal conflict. And I'm not going to shut up about it, Colin.
Now, Ruth, Republicans of the 1969 generation were born into a repressive state. I don't think they invented terror.
Republicans of that generation had been born into a state which did, to some extent, treat them as second-class citizens, although, I may say, in material terms, they were infinitely better off than their counterparts in the Republic of Ireland. There was nothing that was happening that justified them in killing anybody.
We could go around in circles all day, Ruth, but I'm afraid that, along with your newspaper, the Sunday Independent in Dublin, what you're trying to do is determine who is fit to participate in democracy. We have a device for determining that. It's called the ballot box.
Exactly, and I will do anything I can to remind people who are going to vote that they might be that to vote for Sinn Féin is to vote for fascists.
Well, now Sinn Féin would say that to vote for Sinn Féin is to vote for a party that is wedded to peaceful means, Ruth Dudley Edwards, and is committed to a peace process.
But it absolutely justifies all the terrorism that the IRA carried out, and it is still actually run by the IRA Army Council.
Danny and Carrick Fergus.
Let me just finish, Stephen. I'm not for one moment suggesting that they are proposing to employ any kind of terror for political reasons. They have given up on that. I accept that. They are still entirely untrustworthy. They are still using the proceeds of criminality, and they are still entirely standing over all that vicious murder and brutality and mutilation and criminality of those 30 years.
Danny and Carrick Fergus. Morning, Danny.
Hello, Stephen. I just want to say 3 cheers for that lady there. I've never been 100% behind what she is saying. And the sooner everybody recognises that, they are the same as ISIS. And as for seeing ISIS religion. The Catholic religion has slaughtered more people than enough, more than ISIS has done, and yet we're criticising ISIS. And the Protestant faith has slaughtered people. But there's nothing said about that.
And you don't think it is a little bit crass that here we have this this story around the world today? It's about victims in Paris. It's about people in Paris who have lost their lives, Danny. And Here we are talking about Northern Ireland.
Yes, it's a disgrace. But there's still a lot of... See, religion is a blight in mankind. And the sooner people recognise that there and get it, the churches are laughing at us. Because they're sitting high and pretty in their churches with their gold and their rings, and they think they're pious. The Lord says, beware of these people. But the people aren't...
Well, you brought it round to the churches now somehow.
Yes, because you bring ISIS religion, the Muslims.
Can I come in here, Stephen?
Yes, go ahead.
I never said Catholic and Protestant when it came to loyalists and paramilitaries. In a sense, religion was an identifier. It wasn't the cause. It was an ideology. It actually was a row over identity. That's what it was about. That's what it was all about. That's why the IRA were fighting for United Ireland, which they never got.
Yeah, but Ruth, when you try to link Sinn Féin to receipts of criminality, etc., there's absolutely no evidence for that.
There's plenty of evidence for it, Stephen. I mean, that's fine. And that has been made clear by quite a lot of politicians.
If there was evidence for that, that would be a matter for the police, wouldn't it, to pursue?
Yes, and they've been very, very lax in pursuing it on both the police, the PSNI and the Gardaí, precisely because they were told to go easy on the border areas because of the peace process.
That's the IRA you're talking about, and you should distinguish between the IRA, a prescribed organisation, and Sinn Féin, a political party with a mandate. You should distinguish.
Party which defends everything the IRA did.
Stephen, if Ruth wants to talk about the excusing of terror, she's look at the cases of Mark Wright and James Fisher, who were convicted of murdering young Peter McBride in the New Lodge in Belfast. The judge at their trial called them liars. They were sentenced to life in prison. And after a huge campaign, they were released. They were rehabilitated. They were brought back into the army. That's a clear-cut case of the state excusing terror and murder. And yet the nationalist community are very generously prepared to move beyond that and constructively work the new dispensation. They're not like Ruth, constantly pumping out poison and negativity into the system.
No, they're constantly smearing everything with state collusion and saying you mustn't criticise anything that might affect the peace process on the terms dictated by Sinn Féin.
Here's Gavin. Morning, Gavin.
But thanks for letting me on your show. I've tried to get on about a dozen times and I can't get on normally because Jim Wilson or your man George from Haifa is on. We'd just like to say to Ruth Dudley Adam Church, she's kept trying to give us a history lesson there. What year was Peter Ward killed, Stephen?
What?
What
66.
Year was Peter Ward killed?
66?
Yes, and what year did the IRA start?
Well, is this a quiz show?
No, we're trying to give people a history lesson or a rewritten version of history. See, in 1962, due to the apathy of the Irish people, the IRA threw the towel in 1962. There was no IRA from 1962. Peter Ward was shot dead in 1966. And there was no IRA at that time. Now, here's the fact, Stephen. See, if there was no British occupation of Ireland, there would be no Irish Republican Army. It's that simple.
But what Ruth Dudley Edwards is doing,
is coming over from England and talking absolute nonsense.
What she's doing, Gavin, let me speak to you. What she's doing is she's drawing a parallel between what ISIS have done in Paris in throwing grenades into people and what the IRA did. And putting bombs into city centres.
Right, and what about dropping bombs from the sky, Stephen? What about dropping bombs from the sky on the wee
Palestinian? Why don't you speak to Ruth yourself? Speak to her directly.
Stephen, to be honest, I wouldn't waste my breath on a bigot like that. To be honest.
Well, now Ruth, you will run. Ruth, you will run. Ruth, you will hold on. Stop. No. I won't. Ruth, you will want to respond to that. You'll not get on again if you don't stop. You need to let me chair this, Ruth. You will want to respond to that.
Right. I've written quite a lot about the beginnings of the Troubles, and I have written absolutely savagely about Ian Paisley and what he did to destroy any possibility of peace at that period and the responsibility he bears for... I've always said that really he and the IRA shared the responsibility. And yes, I know that the first policeman was murdered by a loyalist. I also quite understand why young people got caught up in the civil rights protests, which were utterly justified. I quite understand the excitement of the time. I quite understand that there was a kind of frenzy for a couple of years. I don't have a difficulty in saying people can do terrible things when they're young and they can recover from it. They can recognise what they've done. They can apologise. They can change. I've always accepted.
Okay, let me let go.
My problem is that from 1972 on...
Is there even any chance, sir?
Hmm?
Gavin, just wait 1 second. Wait 1 second. Okay, Gavin, go ahead. You can respond
now. Ruth, you're talking an awful lot there about the Irish Republican Army, and you're talking about Ian Paisley, and you're talking about this, and you're talking about that, as if you're some sort of kind of peacekeeper in the middle of a situation between the Irish people fighting among themselves. Where's the British in this equation?
Sorry?
Where's the British in this equation? Where's the British who come into our land and wrecked the place during genocide, during the so-called famine, which never happened? Where's all the history about all the stuff that you've done down through the years? Where is it? Why are you just talking about Ian Paisley and the IRA?
Well, you
why is the British not getting mentioned?
You were talking about the 60s, Gavin, that's why.
No, listen, Ruth, the conflict here goes back hundreds of years. Of using Vietnam in this country,
right.
He's bringing terrorism to our country and trying to browbeat people and trying to browbeat the Irish people into submission, which will never happen. It will never happen, not even now.
Do you know what I actually thought? This story broke while I was on air on 5 Live on Friday night. And do you know what was honestly in the back of my mind on Friday night? That maybe we would all, when we have time to reflect on this Monday morning, in other words, now, maybe we would all sit and think to yourselves, my goodness, aren't we lucky to have relative peace now in Northern Ireland?
Stephen,
I thought that would be part of the conversation today.
Stephen, do you know what I like about you? You always come up with these thoughts when somebody phones your radio station with a proper view and a proper historical context. See, when anybody like Ruth Dudley Edwards comes on, you let them talk till the cows come home, or George from the Highfield, or that or imbecile Jim Wilson from East Belfast.
Yeah, you've got a fairly good go yourself. You've been talking all day yourself.
I haven't been on for 12. I've tried 12 times. I even made a complaint to the Ombudsman, the BBC.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Yes, it did, because you're not alone, people. It's called propaganda, Stephen, and the reason your show's one of the biggest shows in the country is because you're the best at it. You have a selective audience of who you pick put on your radio station.
Stop talking nonsense.
It's a fact. You've set more people up in TV audiences and all the rest of it. There's been more complaints than
enough. Nonsense.
No, it's a fact, Stephen. It's a fact.
It's a and fact you in your
don't
head.
Tell me you don't like the truth, Stephen, because you're like the rest of them. You're like the rest of them. You like to ram it down people's throats, but you don't like taking facts. And you don't like what happened in France because the truth's coming home to hurt. There's people getting slaughtered left, right and centre in Yemen, in Iraq, in Afghanistan and all over the world by them American parasites. And there's not a word about it. Not a word about it. Ken O'Keefe, listen to a guy called Ken O'Keefe. In fact, get him on your show, Stephen, if you're so fair and so impartial. Get Ken O'Keefe, an ex-American Marine. Get him on your show and let the world know what's really going on all around the place.
You mentioned Jim Wilson earlier on. He is on the line. He's the man that keeps you up, is he?
Great, mate. Sure, you should call it the Wilson and Nolan show.
Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. This is the imbecile, Jim Wilson, who has done cross-media work, who sat down with Republicans, who has tried to make the communities better where I live and do all sorts of things and put my neck in the line with the
wonderful
old community.
Wonderful,
oh, yeah, I know, but I'd just love to know where you're coming from because...
Well, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. I'm coming to here.
One question.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Question, because you've had a good say there.
Yeah.
I was speaking to real Republicans one time and they told me, where the Republican movement and the nationalist people are now could have been achieved without one bullet being fired in the conflict, because the way the countries were moving in America and throughout the world, this would have happened anyway, and that there would have been a place in this society for nationalism and for republicanism without a bullet being fired. Now, I'm going to ask you the question, because I'm an imbecile. Do you believe that could have happened in this country without the bloodshed that we had between our own community, the Protestant community, and the Catholic community? Could that have happened and with states moving on and moving on the way they are? Because that's what we need to talk about the use of terrorism and bullets in our communities, and what happened in Paris is an absolute disgrace. But answer that question. You're a diehard Republican.
Okay, Jim. See, the only terrorism that ever happened in Ireland, it came from the British, right? You're only after asking me a question about the Catholics and the Protestants, right? And again, you left out the British. Now, see the problem in Ireland? It's to do with England. It's nothing to do with Protestant and Catholics. The same way the problems around the world has nothing to do with Islam and Muslims. It's a divide and conquer tactic, and they're using people to slaughter each other for their own greedy benefits. The Rothschilds Mafia and all the rest of it. What's going on in Palestine? They're denying people water and all the rest of it, and there's not a word about it.
Listen, know what your problem is. I'm the British presence in Northern Ireland. Me, my community. David Irvine once said,
"No problem."
We're the British presence in North. The majority of people in this country, and even within your own community now, even within your Republican community, the majority of people want to stay within the United Kingdom.
That's because
you need to come into the real world, friend.
I am coming. Let me finish.
Where the real world is? The real world affects people's education, their health, their finances, how they can look after their children.
Jim, can I say something?
Republicanism and loyalism, it's getting
you want to shout down? You want to do Ian Paisley? You want to shout all day?
Let me say this.
Stop now, you two. Hold on. Stop. Stop.
Let me say this. I want to say this, Stephen. See, the British presence is in the majority of Ireland. It came to the majority because the British wiped out the Irish people. They got 2 million to leave the land and starved a million to death. That's why there's a British majority. And it's never been mentioned.
Okay.
There was massive genocide in our country.
I'm going to leave that there. Gavin and Jim, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.